here and use that as my jumping point. Deuteronomy 17, 15 through 17. You will indeed set over yourself a king, whom Adonai your God chooses. One from among your brothers will be appointed as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he should not multiply horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to multiply horses, because Adonai has said to you, you must never go back that way again. Nor should he multiply wives for himself, so that his heart does not turn aside or multiply much silver and gold for himself. So I read this, and a couple of things jump out at me. And first, is they're going to put a king over them. Now we know that Adonai should always be our king. But Adonai knew that the people were going to want a human king as well. And although that was not always what he wanted, he was going to say, okay, but it'll be the one that I appoint. And it should always be a brother. Now here's something that's interesting, to me at least. Israel divides into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom gets 10 tribes. The southern kingdom gets 2. You would think that the northern kingdom would be the one to flourish. It's bigger. It has more tribes, more people. They're going to go like the wind. They're going to be strong. But instead, they turn totally from the word. And I think one of the reasons, one of the big reasons is that this right here says, one from among your brothers will be appointed as king over you. Now, in the southern kingdom, it always went through David. The kingdom passed from family to family. You read in the scripture, the northern kingdom, there were kings that were appointed that were not of Israel. I think that's a big reason that the kingdom fell. But that's not the point I wanted to make today. That's just a little side note. And we may get into that a little deeper during Torah for today. But the thing that jumped out at me is, you must never go back that way again. This has some real physical as well as spiritual meaning for us. You must never go back that way again. But what is that way? What is the way? And can we never really go back? Well, let's take a look at what happens. Because there are certainly things that we should never go back to. Let's take a look at a couple of examples. Because there are things that once we leave them, those failures behind us, we should leave those failures behind us. We should leave those sins behind us. And those are the things we should never go back to. So in Scripture, we have physical experiences within Scripture to show us don't go back. And the first one that jumps out to me is Lot's wife, right? They're told, get out. But Lot's wife looks back. And it's set as a reminder. Not only is it set as a reminder, it's remembered even in the Brit Hakadosh. In the New Covenant, Luke 17, 31 through 33 says, in that day, the one who is on the roof and his possessions in the house, he must not go down to take them away. In the same way, the one who is in the field must turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, but whoever loses his wife will preserve it. Lot's wife, as she is walking away, is trying to preserve her life in Sodom. Her heart was still in Sodom. She didn't want to leave. She wanted to go back in her heart. She was not. She should have been known. She should have known not to go back. Would she have rather have known? Boy. Don't go back from where you came out of. It's like running out of a burning building. It says, in those days, the one who is on the roof in his possessions and in the house, you must not go down to take them away. Think of it like running from a burning building. You get out yourself, you turn and you say, look, all my stuff is in there. I got to go get it out. This is when most of the people die in fires, because they refuse to let the things go. This is why people are in sin so much. They refuse to let the things go. They come out of the world, but even as they're out of the world, they're looking back into the world. They're saying, you know, I probably can just kind of reach in and grab this little thing that I've always liked and pull it back with me. I probably can just reach in and grab it. Leave it. You left it for a reason. God had you leave it behind for a reason. Leave it all behind. Don't yearn for the things you've left behind. It's impossible to move forward if you're looking backwards. Luke 9:61 says, then another also said, I will follow you, master, but first let me say goodbye to those in my home. But Yeshua said to him, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, how many farmers do we have here today? Not a whole lot, huh? When I asked that question up in New York, no one raises their hand too. Don't worry. But this is the way we have to think about it. Sometimes we have to think in the agricultural way. When you're plowing and you look back, your tendency is you turn your head, your whole body starts to turn. The plow starts to go off and you're not plowing in straight rows anymore. Think about when you're driving the car. You know, that's something we can all relate to. You turn your head, your shoulders start turning, and without even realizing it, the wheel is starting to turn in the same direction, and your car's veering off. Now, this is not what the Lord wants. He wants, if you're working in his field, he wants those straight rows. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that's what the word is saying. But we strive to be that good worker in the field. We strive to do the best for the one who is the best. That's what we're looking to do. Looking towards it. Now, looking back is not just looking back for to grab something and to bring it forward with us. Sometimes that looking back are past hurts that we refuse to let go of. How many times have you heard someone say, you know, I let that go. It doesn't bother me anymore. But you know, it probably does. Now, how do you know that? For the same reason you shouldn't see it in yourself. If you're still talking about it, you probably haven't let it go. And I've fallen into this myself. I know how many years it took me to get over some things because I would talk about it. You know, I worked for this one company and they went under and I had stock in the company and boy, I lost money. I thought I had let it go, but then I started realizing it every time we started talking about companies we worked for or stocks or retirement funds, I would bring this story up. Every time. And then I realized I had not let it go. I can say now, this is the first time I've brought this story up in a long time because I haven't let it go. But I know there are other things that I haven't let go yet. It's a progress. It's working through it things sometimes. And we have to let these things go. We can't dwell on them. And some of them are really tough to let go. Sometimes it's a loved one who we have to let go, who's passed away. And I'm not saying let go of the memories altogether. But I am saying is, are you dwelling on the good memories? Or are you dwelling on, they didn't have to die. Someone made a mistake. You know, let those hurt feelings go. Let them go. Am I saying it's easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But when we partner with the Ruach HaKodesh, we can. How about friends that we lost touch with or just who we just can't be around anymore? It's easy to dwell on that one day that broke you up as a friend. I would rather dwell on the 10 years I had that friend. And I know that was one of the things I dwelt on for a long time. But these are all things we just have to learn to let go. Because they're all part of, are we looking back? Are we trying to run back into that building and grab our loved ones, grab our relationships? Leave them where they are. As hard as it is. It's when we start looking forward instead of looking back that we're able to move forward. We're able to make that progress. In Luke 23, we're told of the time of Yeshua's execution on the stake. And there are thieves on either side of him. And people are throwing insults at Yeshua. And the one says, you know, don't do that. He's the one who acknowledged who Yeshua is. Now, he could have been looking back and looking back at his life and looking back at the ones who condemned him and looking back at the mistakes he made and looking back and looking. But he looked forward. He recognized something to look forward to. He recognized Messiah before him and let go of the things in the past and took hold of the reward in the future. And what happened? Yeshua says, on that day, you will be in paradise with me. That's the power of letting go of the past and grabbing onto the future. You know, Yeshua said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, agrees and seems to take it even a step further. In Philippians 3:12, he says, not that I've already attained this or been perfected, but I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. Now you think Rav Shaul has it. Man, this is a man of God. He's got it. He knows it. But he says he's still trying to do this. Not that I've obtained this to perfection yet. But what do? I let go of the things in the past. And I strive for the things in the future. He doesn't just move forward. He's striving. He's reaching. He's putting his efforts, all his efforts, into going forward. This was a man who had some reasons to think back on what he's gone through. Right? 2 Corinthians 11 gives us this whole long list of what he's gone through. He's worked hard. He's been in prison. He's flogged severely, he says. He's been exposed to death again and again. He received 39 lashes from the Sanhedrin 5 times. 3 times beaten with the rod. Could you imagine what this man's back looked like? But he strives forward and doesn't look back. He was stoned once. The only reason you stop stoning someone is because you believe they're already dead. He was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. 3 times. He spent the night on the open sea because of one of these shipwrecks. He's been endangered. Listen to this list. He's been endangered from rivers, bandits, Jews, Gentiles, in the city, on the sea, in the country, and from false brothers, those who he thought he should be able to trust. But he put it in the past. He let go of them. And then he says, to top it all off, constantly on the move. Constantly on the move. So he was not able to put down roots. So he wasn't able to have family in one place. Does this man deserve to hold a grudge? Yes and no. I agree with them both. In the physical, he absolutely has so much to be looking back and saying, look at all the pain I've been through. But in the spiritual, he says, look at all the reward I'm going to be receiving. Straining for what's ahead. That's how he got past all of this hurt. But there's a caution to be said here, because Satan's out there too, straining to keep you looking backwards, straining to help you hold on to the hurts, without a doubt. We see in 1 Kings 13, and we're told of a prophet, and we're not even told his name. It just calls him man of God. A prophet who went to deliver a word from Adonai to Jeroboam, the king at the time. Delivering a word to a wicked king in the northern tribes. So, when the king, just to set this up a little, when the king came against him and said, throw that man in prison, his arm became leprous. And then he realized, hey, I made a mistake. And turned to the man of God who prayed for him and his arm was restored. So Jeroboam says to him, hey, come on back, eat and drink, and let me reward you. And the prophet says, God told me, don't go back. Don't eat, don't drink, don't go back the way you came. It's another example of us being able for us to take, not to go back the way we came. In fact, in 1 Kings 13:8, it says, but the man of God said to the king, even if you give me half your house, I will not go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so I was charged by the word of Adonai, saying, You are to eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. He heard the word of God say, don't go back. Now, I said earlier, Satan wants you to be fooled into going back, into holding those hurts, into looking back. So while this prophet was on the road, here comes Satan. He's going back a different way. He's listening to God. But another one who called himself a prophet came to him. 1 Kings 13:18. So this prophet said, he said to him, I am a prophet like you. An angel spoke to me with the word of Adonai, saying, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in the house and drank water. Now, it's easy when Scripture has the words that make it so easy to understand. He lied to him. Someone who called himself a prophet lied to him. And my only thinking here is Satan had a hold on this false prophet. He lied to him because Satan used him to have him go back. So what was the mistake? The mistake of our man of God was that he didn't listen to God at first. Is God a man who should change his mind? He gave instructions. If God gives you instructions and another man comes and wants to give you an instruction that is totally opposite what God says, don't listen. God is not a man who should change his mind. But no, the world will keep pulling on you. They'll just keep pulling on you in order for you to lose your atonement. So, our prophet, our man of God, listened to this false prophet and went back the way he came, back into the city. Then he ate and he drank. And on his way out, in 1 Kings 13:24 is the end of the story. But when he was gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him. So his carcass was thrown on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside the carcass. The lion met him and killed him. It may have just been a random lion. Just, you know, your average everyday random lion on the street. Who killed the man of God, but didn't kill the donkey, and didn't kill the passerby as they walked by him. Obviously, not your random lion, sent by God. He did not trust, the man of God did not trust what he heard for himself and knew of God. So we need to be careful. We need to listen to what our God says. And we have to make sure that it lines up with everything he has said to us through Torah, to us through Scripture, and sometimes through to us through vision or dream. Because he will come to you at times that way. The world will try to stop us. 1 John 4:1. Loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. The prophet received the word directly from God's mouth. So have we. The Torah is God's word directly from his mouth. Don't dismiss it. Just like the prophet on his way out of the city was met by someone who said, I'm a prophet too. God spoke to me. It's different than what you heard, but listen to me. So will the world try to say that to you. Listen to me, I'm a prophet. But then they want to throw Torah away. Listen to me, I'm a prophet. But then all the prophecies that have come true and point to our Messiah, they just want to toss. Figure it out for yourself. Know what Torah says, so that when someone comes against Torah, you can say, no, that's the world pulling. No, that's a false prophet trying to take my atonement. No, that's not the way I'm going to go. God gives us, each one of us, an instruction. And he tells us to remember what they are. Isaiah, I'm just going to go through a couple of scriptures real quick here. Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember former things, nor consider things of the past. Here I am, doing a new thing. Now it is springing up. Do you not know about it? I will surely make a way in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. Don't remember those things that you've put behind you. Don't consider the things of the past. Here I am doing a new thing. Well, if it's a new thing, does it line up with Torah and Scripture? If it is, then it's a good new thing. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Now here's the good news to us. This is a word about how we should forgive others. And that's a way of putting things behind us. But I love this because I always think if it says it in Scripture, I know that not only do I have to follow it, I know Adonai will follow it too. Adonai will follow his word. He's not a man who's going to tell you to do something and then do something himself. He's going to follow his word. So when it says, forgive others their transgressions, I know he'll forgive me of my transgression too. He'll forgive you of your transgressions too. So put them behind you. Don't let these transgressions get hold of your leg and drag you back. Psalm 37:1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of them who do wrong. For like the grass, they soon wither and fade, like the green herb. I love Psalm 37. It is a great little psalm of instruction on how you should live your life. And the first thing it says is, don't worry about the evildoers around you. They're going to be evil doing, but put it behind you. Because unlike you, they're going to fade away. Maybe not even in this world, but definitely in the next. And what's the reward you're looking for? Not in this world. I'm looking forward. I'm striving forward. I'm hoping you are too. Galatians 5:16, the last one on this point. But I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Ruach, but the Ruach sets its desires against the flesh. For those are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Ruach, you're not under the law. Be led by the Ruach, and you can put those things behind you. Now, you know, if you are led by the Ruach, you are not under the law. The people use that out there in the church world, saying, you see, you don't have to keep Torah. It says right there, you're not under the law. Let me give you an interpretation that's better. It means Torah will not be your death, but your life. It means by living the Torah, you will gain your reward, which is told us. That, to me, means is what you are not under the law. Your death is not under the law, but you are now life. I think, truly believe, that's what it means when it says you're not under the law. Your death is not by the law. It's your life that's by the law. Just a couple of more scripture here. Galatians 6:9. So, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't give up. Don't give up. Keep striving ahead. Keep looking forward. Know that your reward is not behind you. Your reward is ahead of you. If your reward was behind you, you wouldn't even need to try anymore. Look, I've got it already. But that's not what the word says. Keep striving forward. How do we strive forward? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take on his yoke and move forward. The yoke does a couple of things. The yoke helps to steer. When you're working the oxen, the yoke is on the oxen to help steer the ox. Well, I will gladly take on the Lord's yoke and let him steer. Zechariah 1:3, therefore tell them, thus says Adonai Tzivaot, return to me. It is a declaration of Adonai Tzivaot, and I will return to you, says Adonai Tzivaot. So at the beginning I said, don't go back. Don't go back. Now I'm going to say, don't go back except. Don't go back except for when you're going back to the Lord. It's the one time you can go back. Don't go back except when you're turning back to the Lord. Because he will accept you every single time. Luke 17:3. Keep yourself alert. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Even if he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. The Lord does the same thing. Repent, he'll accept you back. Turn back to him, right? Repent, one of the definitions of repenting is turning back to him. So if you're going to turn back, who do we return back to? The Lord, every time. That's who we turn back to. That's the time we return back. But don't return back to that house on fire. Don't go back to those sins, to those hurts, to that past. That's not who you are anymore. That's not who you're meant to be. Strive forward. These are the instructions Adonai gives us to follow. Go forward. Repent and turn back to him, but by turning back to him, you're walking away from everything else. He will cleanse and he will cover us. As soon as we turn back, he covers the final distance. That's the good news. That's where we need to turn to. Amen? Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God who we can turn back to. We thank you you're a God who gives us instruction not to turn back, not to hold on to the past, but to strive forward to you. Because you are our very great reward. You are our very great reward, not the things that you can give us. But it's you, just you. So we do not look for your hand to give us. We look to your face so that you love us and that we can love you. Help us, Ruach HaKodesh, to strive forward when the world tries to pull us back. Help us, Ruach HaKodesh, to let go so that we can go forward and hold on to you. Thank you that you have cleansed. As soon as we return to you and accept you as our Messiah, Yeshua, that your blood cleanses us so that we may be in your presence. And thank you that regardless of how many times we fail, you're a God who never fails and will always take us back when we repent. So we just thank you that you are a great, mighty, and merciful God who never fails us and never leaves us. So if you're watching on the live stream, I thank you for joining us. I hope that this word